Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Thursday, June 12, 2014, episode 10.03, the OTA and other NFL news show. Got a big show for you today as Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker Paul Posluszny joins me to discuss the Jaguars coming back to London. I'll ask him about graduating from a Pennsylvania high school with another famous football player attached to it. And we'll also talk about how he feels about the Jags returning back to London for another few years. I'll share my thoughts with you on the media giving Johnny Football a hard time for his recent weekend getaways. I have a good old boy in Kansas City, and HBO finally has its team for Hard Knocks. All this is coming at you, so let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. That's right. Another week, a full week this week. Lots of action happening in the NFL, even with nothing going on. OTAs have started, but, you know, that's just light practices. Guys practicing with shorts and sometimes shoulder pads. I don't even know if they're allowed to use shoulder pads during OTAs, but not much going on, yet there's a ton going on in the NFL. Right now, I'm just happy because the San Antonio Spurs are taking it to the Miami Heat. They're already up 2-1 in the series, and currently midway through the third quarter, they have a 66-48 point lead. That's 66-48 in Miami, by the way. This would be the second game that they win in Miami if they do hold on to win. It'll be a 3-1 lead. They go back to San Antonio and hopefully put it away in five. That would be something cool to see. No three-peat for LeBron. That's what I'm cheering for. Anyways, last time I was with you, this person joined me. That's right. Godzilla was in the house. And he just quickly popped in to make that noise for me because I love it. There's something about that sound. I was actually just came back from Texas where I visited my mom and my brother and sister and a nephew graduating from high school. Very proud of the young man. Patrick, congratulations, kid. Moving on to the next phase of his life. And while we were there, my mom's like, you know, hon, I haven't seen Godzilla yet. And I'm like, Mom, what's up with that? Go see it. And she's like, well, you want to take me? I'm like, well, I've already seen it twice. She's like, that's okay. I don't care. Take me. So there we go. Me and Emma, who are big Godzilla fans, take mom, her grandma, obviously. And there we were in the movie theater. It was like me, my mom, my daughter Emma, who's 7 years old. There were like two kids who were like ditching school or something. They were up a couple rows ahead of us. And that's about it. And it was great to see it a third time. I still enjoyed the movie. I wish there was more Godzilla. But that's it. I will stop talking about Godzilla, and I'll just leave you with this. I will focus on to the NFL, where the National Football League is ditching Roman numerals. Well, at least for just one season. They've decided that for Super Bowl 50, they don't want the Roman numeral L, which represents 50, because it would just look weird, I guess. It's just like a Super Bowl large or something. They didn't really know how to make the logo work, I guess, with the L. So they decided to use 50. And the logo's out. It actually looks pretty cool. The way they've done it is they've kind of superimposed the Golden Gate Bridge and part of the San Francisco area, which is it's the San Francisco Bay Area that'll host the Super Bowl in 2016. And the 50 is kind of golden. You know, it is the golden anniversary, 50 years. 50 Super Bowls, and the, you know, the generic kind of Lombardi trophy with the Super Bowl banner at the bottom stays the same. I like it. It looks really cool. But then the league says, we'll only do this for Super Bowl 50, and then with Super Bowl 51, we'll go back to Roman numerals. And I'm like, why? I mean, if you're breaking away from the Roman numerals, which they my understanding is they didn't use Roman numerals for the first four Super Bowls. They were just, you know, one, two. I think the first one was actually not even called a Super Bowl. It's called the first ever championship game between the AFL and NFL. And then it was Super Bowl and Super Bowl II and Super Bowl III and Super Bowl IV. And then they went to the five, the Roman numeral V for five. Just get away from it. I mean, I don't know how you're going to go back to L1, or I'm sorry, LI, for Super Bowl 51. If you're going to 50, if you're going to numbers, stick with the numbers, man. There's so much more you could do with it. This logo is really sharp. I will be putting it out on the website. Make sure you come out and take a look at it. Super Bowl 50 for the San Francisco Bay Area. It looks really cool. I really like the Golden Gate Bridge there and superimposed into the 50 logo. It's pretty nice. I like the logo, but it's been received. It's been mixed reviews. Some people said it looks sharp. I like it. It's great. And others were like, or the ever popular as kids do nowadays. Me, you know, one of those. I like it. I think it's great. I think it uses the golden touch for the 50 superimposed with the silver and the classic grays and blacks for the Lombardi Trophy. Looks like a pretty cool logo to me. I will embrace it, and I will say keep it. Keep it from now on. Just use numbers. There's not very many things that we use Roman numerals for. I think that someone tweeted out looking for What do we use Roman numerals for? And I was like, well, there's not much, but, you know, there's still outlines. People use them for outlines. And there's monarchy, you know, King Henry V or the 6th or popes. I said the popes definitely were one. Not sure what's that. I think amendments to the Constitution were another one. I think sometimes the preface in a book is you. They use Roman numerals for that, but that's about it. So the NFL, if you're gonna move away at 50 to be 50 for the Super Bowl logo, keep it, man. Just keep it and go and roll with the numbers and see what your artists can come up with. I like 50, and I think you should keep it and move on. So let me know how you like the logo. I know some of the fans I posted it. Some of our listeners to the show were indifferent. Others liked it. Others were like, meh. So there you go. I like it. I say keep it. HBO, turning to look at HBO, has its team finally for this year's version of Hard Knocks. The Cleveland Browns, I understand, turned them down. They said, no, thank you. Now, you can understand why the HBO executives wanted to have the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you got Johnny Football there, right? Let's bring the Browns in. It'd be awesome. But no, the Cleveland Browns said, no go. So HBO turned to the Atlanta Falcons, and that is going to be your team this summer. Hard Knocks training camp with the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's a good team. There's a lot of interesting stories there. You've got Steven Jackson. You know, maybe they'll show him in his hyperbaric chamber and, you know, how he kind of cools down and regenerates to get back onto the football field. Roddy White coming back from injury, not being too happy there. Contract situation, negotiating a new deal. You know, they got some pretty interesting rookies there that they're going to obviously take a look at. Then you've got their GM, Thomas Dimitroff. He's pretty cool. He thinks outside the box. It will be interesting to see what he has to say. Julio Jones and his recovery from injury. Is he going to be ready to go? That's going to be interesting. Then my understanding is they've got a defensive end on the team, Croy Bierman, who he's actually already in a reality show. He is shown or comes out from time to time with his wife in The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So this is old hat for Croy there. We'll see how that works for him and how he likes to be in another reality show where he's the focus and he's just not the husband of a Real Housewife of Atlanta. So that's going to be interesting. The other thing is Mike Smith, the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I like this cat. I like him a lot. I actually met his brother in London a few years back because his brother looks exactly like him. I'm like, Mike, aren't you supposed to be like back in Atlanta playing a football game? And he's like, yeah, it's my brother. And actually had the pleasure of interviewing Mike a couple times back at the Super Bowl a few years ago. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, how he handles business, how he runs his training camp. How does he cut players? Does he, you know, do it? Because, you know, remember Philbin, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins? He was just like cut and dry. We're letting you go. This is this. This is that. See you later. Bye. Boom. You know, no, there was like no sympathy towards the player when he cut him. Well, I'm interested to see what Mike Smith does. So it's a, I think there's a lot of big names. You know, don't forget Matty Ice. Matt Ryan's been around for a few years now. It's going to be interesting to see, can this team turn it around? Remember last year, everyone expected big things from the Atlanta Falcons. Well, that didn't happen. They had a horrible season. And it's going to be interesting if they can bounce back with all the players that they've got coming back. It's going to be a fun team to watch. So why not throw them on Hard Knocks? I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good to see this team. Plus, you know, Atlanta in itself, the city itself, is a pretty cool place to be. So hopefully they'll show some of the nightlife following the guys around the city of Atlanta so you can see what a cool town it is. And finally, in current NFL news, before we get to some more draft signings in this week's version of the Good Old Boy, the Philadelphia Eagles are taking it to their rookies. Offensive lineman Lane Johnson tweeted out a picture of the receipt for a recent dinner at Del Frisco's, which he called Rookie Dinner. And the tab was $17,700 plus, $700 and change. $17,700 for a rookie to have to pay for other veterans who have way more money than the rookie to have dinner. I think that is weird. Yeah, I remember a few years ago when Dez Bryant had to shell out $50,000. But I'm looking at this receipt, and it's just like some people were just taking advantage. You know, besides all of the steak dinners and seafood dinners and mac and cheese with lobsters and it's all kinds of stuff on here. The 3-liter bottle of wine. There's a bottle of wine that costs $2,600. There's another, I think it's a Cabernet 2005 bottle of Screaming Eagle for $3,495. A couple shots, 2 ounces, 5 shots of a Remy Martin Louis the 13th. And those 5 shots cost $1,300. Just alone, these little shots, $1,300. It's amazing that some of these players actually had the stomach to, you know what, not only are we going to get the most expensive stuff on the menu, we're actually going to get the most expensive bottle of wine that they have to sell me at $3,500. Yeah, you got to cover that. The gratuity, which was added, just the tip itself, okay? Forget the tax, because the tax on this meal, $1,535, all right? The gratuity, the tip that gets added automatically because it was a party of more than six, $472.20. That is just, it's pretty sickening. And these fools, at the end of the day, they wonder how they end up broke. How did I end up broke? Yo, man, remember your rookie dinner you paid $17,000? $17,747.86. That's what you paid that one night. And you wonder how these players can make so much money and at the end of their careers not have a dime to their name. Well, this is how. They're foolish enough to spend $17,000 on a meal. That's pretty crazy. I could never do that, and I don't think I could have the stomach to do that to someone who, I don't know, do I call him a friend? If this guy's picking up the tab, do I call him my friend? If I call him my friend, I don't think I can let him pony up $17,000. I'd pay for my part of it at least. Oh, craziness there in Philadelphia. All right, it's time to talk about some first-round signings. This time we're not talking about just particular players or, a whole bunch of players from the first round. We're talking about a team, and I'm talking about those St. Louis Rams. How about those St. Louis Rams? Not only did they sign their first-rounders, Greg Robinson and Errol Donaldson, they signed all other 9 draft picks. So all 11 draft picks, signed all of them. Boom. All done, all at the same time. And that includes 7th-round pick Michael Sam. Congratulations to Michael Sam. He becomes the first openly gay player that was drafted into the NFL and signed a 4-year contract with the St. Louis Rams. And I just think that that is really, really good for him. So the numbers on that contract for Michael Sam, 4 years, $2.65 million, and 46,000 of it is guaranteed. That's 46,000 gura. Not bad for a 7th-round pick. I tell you what, 7th-round pick, if he is able to land on this team and make this roster and make this squad, and he can go out and show that he can contribute to this football team, that contract will surely increase in the following, possibly after a 2nd or 3rd year. So congratulations to not only Michael Sam and Greg Robinson and Aaron Donaldson, but the rest of the draft picks for the St. Louis Rams. That team got everybody into camp, and I like it.
Just a good old boy.
Oh, here we go.
Never meaning no harm.
You know they never mean no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day he was born. Ah, the good old boys of the NFL. This time we go to Kansas City, where Chiefs cornerback Sean Smith was arrested earlier this week in Kansas City, where he was cited for operating a vehicle with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or more. Yeah, that's right, 0.08 or more. I think, remember, a few years ago we talked about at what level you just cannot barely walk, much less drive a vehicle. Well, Smith was arrested after he crashed his car into a light post at an intersection after he tried to make a left turn. That's how hammered he was. He couldn't even make a simple left turn. He crashed into a light post and broke the light post. And according to the police report that was obtained by KCTV, Sean Smith declined medical attention, and then apparently he mumbled some statements to the police, which they could not understand after the crash, which happened at around 12:30. Once again, after 12:30, man, don't be driving, especially if you've been drinking. I can't. It's always 12:30, 1:30, 2:30. Smith was taken into custody and charged with suspicion of DUI, careless driving, and driving without proof of insurance. Now, that's the buck stops here with me, okay? Not only are you drunk off your butt that you cannot drive, you don't even have proof of insurance for your vehicle. What's up with that? You've got the dough. I mean, we know you got the dough, right? If players are spending $17,000+ for a dinner, you can afford to purchase insurance on your vehicle. Then you should be able to afford to have call a taxi cab to drive you home. Oh, my goodness. So, anyways, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, have not commented on the situation other to say that they're aware of the situation. And but Sean Smith, if he is found and does any time, the commissioner is going to come down hard on him. There is no reason why a football player in the National Football League should have to drive himself around when he has a blood alcohol content level of 0.08 or higher. It just should not be done. So I have no sympathy for whatever happens to Sean Smith. He deserves it. And I think that's the stance that I'm going to take with all good old boys that break the law, especially when they break the law because they have, been out drinking and driving. That's just not going to fly with me anymore. All right, let's move on to other NFL news. All right. Not if Richard Sherman, cornerback of the Seattle Seahawks, not that he needs any more prizes or anything, any more accolades thrown his way, but he was chosen to be the cover of Madden 15. That's right. The contest, I guess, that I should say, the contest it was, basically they had players in a bracket, and they went down, and the bracket came down to Richard Sherman, and he went up against Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton in the final voting. And when it was revealed, Sherman will be on the cover. And I guess all that trash talking and Crabtree and, you know, I'm going to talk and smack and all that good stuff, it garnered him some attention. Let's get that out first. I think he's a great player. And, you know, the trash talking, I probably did some trash talking in my lifetime when I was competing. So I understand all that. But it certainly has garnered him a lot of attention. And certainly getting the cover of Madden 15 is part of the reason why, you know, he talks and people want to listen. What does Sherman have to say? I want to hear what he has to say. L.O.B. Boom, right? That's what he says. And he calls out other players, and he doesn't mind talking smack about other players. And it certainly got him a lot of attention during the San Francisco 49er, Seattle Seahawks NFC Championship game. And after that, you know, all the accolades that came his way were well-deserved. He's pretty much proven he's a shutdown corner. Don't try to throw much his way. But here he is, cover of Madden 15. You know, now the question is, and I will ask it because I ask it every year of the person who gets on the cover of Madden, is will he be able to stay healthy? And should the Seattle Seahawks be worried if he can stay healthy? Because, you know, whether you believe in curses or not, strange things happen to players that appear on the cover of Madden. And this is Madden 15. This is a special one. Is it really special? Because like the 26th one, I guess it's not that special. But it's going to be a big one because it's no longer Madden 25, the 25th anniversary. So yeah, they're moving on, and the cover looks pretty cool. He's in his defensive pose with the EA Sports logo over him. But I'm always I would be a little bit worried if a player on my team got chosen to be on the cover of Madden, because you just never know what's going to happen to you after you get on that cover. So I wish him all the best. Congratulations, Richard Sherman, for getting the cover. Let's see if you can stay healthy and help your football team this season. All right, now here's something that has been just driving me absolutely batty. It's time to go in for a little rant, and I am ranting on the NFL media. Oh, my God, will you stop following Johnny Manziel and let the kid live his life, for crying out loud? It is none of your business and none of my business what he does on his personal free time away from the football team he plays with. You are a journalist covering a football team and a football player. Cover the team and the player, and don't follow him to everywhere TMZ posts a picture of him, what he's doing on a weekend. All right? What he does on the football field matters. If he does something off the football field, i.e. Sean Smith being arrested for a DUI, that is going to affect his team, because most likely there will be some sort of suspension. That's going to affect his football team. That's going to get him in trouble. Then you can go and cover that. But if the man goes to Las Vegas after, mind you, he goes to his coach and says, I'm thinking about going away to Las Vegas this weekend. We don't have any practices. I want to go out with some friends. And the coach says, go for it. Go have fun. And he goes to Las Vegas and has fun. That is his prerogative. While he was in Las Vegas, did he break any rules? Did he commit any crimes? Did he do anything stupid? No, he was at a party with Rob Gronkowski and a couple other football players having fun. The dude's what, 21, 22 years old? Let him have, thank God, there was no social media and cameras following me around when I was 21 years old and putting up on the web all of the craziness and all of the shenanigans that I was doing when I was that age. And the media, you are lucky that there wasn't anything around when you were that age as well, because I'm sure you were doing some of the foolish things as well. They just, what, they tweeted a picture of him drinking some champagne on an inflatable swan or something. And you know what? I want to give some mass props to head coach Mike Pettine of the Cleveland Browns, who said, you know what, I don't care about that. That's where his exact words after they told him that it was possible, you know, do you feel wrong about this? Is there something bad about this? And he was like, no. Did he commit a crime? Is there something wrong with what he's doing? Absolutely not. He was not concerned with any of that. And he said, basically, here's what I want from my football player, okay? If I have a meeting at 7 o'clock, I want you there at 7 o'clock, focused, ready to listen. During my workouts, I want you focused and prepared to do what I ask of you. But here's what Coach Mike Pettine said from the Cleveland Browns said, I'm not concerned. I would become concerned if it was something criminal, and I would become concerned if it affected his job. I think a lot of our guys, when they leave here, if they were following around, you'd get some very similar pictures. I don't know about an inflatable swan, but I think you'd get some pictures like that. Good for him. Good for the coach in knowing that, you know what, that's his personal time. That's his personal business. What he goes out and he does at a club and what he does behind closed doors, whether he has one, two, three, four sexy chicas in the hotel room with him, that's his business. It is not yet affecting him on the football field, and it is not affecting him by missing any time away from his team. And when he gets to his team, all I have heard is that he has been focused and he has been ready to do whatever the coach has asked him. And look, the guy said, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. And he's doing it. He went to Vegas. The week after that, he went to NBA Finals game. The week after that, he was at a X Games, and then the X Games after party, that's where they took the picture of the swan. He's usually hanging around with celebrities or other famous athletes. He's got a beautiful girlfriend that is always on his arm. What is the problem with that? Get off the kid's back. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's not breaking any laws. He's not doing any drugs that we know of, right? It's just drinking. And right now, drinking is legal. That has not been outlawed by the NFL. So let him go out and have a drink. As long as I don't, the minute I hear Johnny Manziel drinking, get caught for DUI, now we have issues. Now I have problems. But until then, which you haven't heard any of those things, until then, man, you all got to step off. Leave the kid alone. He is young. He is living his life. He's already told the media to their face, I'm going to live life to my fullest, and he now has the means to do it. So what? Are you jealous? Is that why this incessant always in the media, oh, looky, Johnny Manziel's in Las Vegas today, and he got drunk, and he looks like he's having a good time with five girls in a hot tub. Seriously? That's what you're getting after this guy about? Oh, my gosh. It's like they want to find something wrong with him. Find it on the football field. Let's get him on the football field, and let's see what happens. And let's see how he responds to right now the Cleveland Browns coming out and saying that Hoyer is going to go into training camp as the number one quarterback. Let's see how he responds to this. He's got to step up to the challenge and rise up to the challenge to see if he can actually take the first-string job away from Hoyer and become the starter that the Cleveland Browns have wanted for a long time. That's all you got to worry about, Johnny Manziel. If Johnny Manziel becomes a distraction to the point where, oh, he was caught doing drugs, he was caught with a DUI, was driving under the influence, he committed a crime, he beat up some woman, then Go ahead and go after him with all you want and all your impunity as the media. Go for it. Besides that, I don't want to hear it. Tell me how he's doing in OTAs. Tell me if he throws picks. Tell me if he throws beautiful straight passes. Tell me how he's working out. Has he moved up or down on the depth chart? That's what I want to know. Do I want to know that he's partying in Las Vegas? No, because you know what? I am a little jealous. I want to be partying in Las Vegas with him. All right? And brother didn't invite me. I'm a little upset. I'm going to be upset. Okay? Don't tell me those things because they don't matter at the end of it all. Why aren't we following every single – why aren't we following Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? Tom Brady was what? He was at the race, the horse race, the Preakness with Wes Welker and Mike Tyson. And why didn't we get all uppity and stuff and get all – oh, Tom Brady. Why? Because Tom Brady's won Super Bowls? Because he's a veteran? It's the same thing. They're out doing the same thing. Nobody's getting upset at that. There's no reason to get upset at Johnny Manziel for what he is doing. Until it affects him at a professional level, no reason to get upset. I'm off my rant. Ooh, I'm sorry. Sorry, people. I got a little crazy. I got a little carried away. A little emotional there. I got emotional because, you know, it's just I don't understand why they got to keep coming after this kid. Because of what he's done. He's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong, and I think people just need to lay off. But anyways, here we go. First player interview of the season. Joining me right now on the show, Jacksonville Jaguar linebacker Paul Posluszny, also known as the Paws. What's up, Paws?
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Are you ready to come back to London? This is going to be your second visit, correct?
Yeah, that's what it's something we're really excited about.
Yeah, so the Jacksonville Jaguars signed on a deal to come to London, play at Wembley Stadium 4 years in a row. Last year was your first year. How was that experience for you playing an American football game outside of North America in the UK?
Well, I'll tell you what, the experience for us overall was unbelievable. I mean, the city of London is obviously a great city. And then the game, I mean, with guys that have been in a playoff or Super Bowl experience, that's what they compared playing that game to in London. I mean, with the crowd, the type of atmosphere, you know, the surroundings of the surrounding environment, they said it was a playoff type atmosphere. So it was very, very exciting to be a part of.
Well, we're starting to hear a lot the moniker of the London Jaguars. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it. You know, I think our owner has done a great job of promoting us in the city of London, and we want to have a strong presence there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we want to go there and have an experience, a home game, you know, for the Jaguars. So, you know, that's something that we're excited about. Obviously, you know, our home is Jacksonville, and that's not going to change. But to have that strong fan base in London as well is a great advantage for us.
All right, we're talking to Jacksonville linebacker Paul Posluszny. Paul, you went to Hopewell High School in Pennsylvania, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Do you know what other famous football player went to that high school?
Oh, yeah. Well, the stadium is named after him. It's Tony Dorsett Stadium.
There you go. Tony Dorsett. Now, that's some big shoes that you feel you got to fill coming out of that high school?
Oh, you know, he's a legend, right? I mean, back home, he's obviously a legend. He's a Hall of Fame player. That's not something that you try to compete with. You know, I mean, that's someone that you look up to and learn from. Growing up, I mean, you knew all the stories about Tony Dorsett and what he was able to do, you know, both in college and then professionally. And like I said, you know, our high school field is named after him. So Western Pennsylvania in general, there's so much great football history. And then the guys that go to Hopewell are fortunate enough to be, you know, to be around Tony Dorsett.
Well, that's awesome. The reason why I brought up Tony Dorsett, obviously your opponent this year at Wembley, the Dallas Cowboys. What do you feel, last year's game kind of got away from you guys early. What do you feel you guys need to do to contain Tony Romo in that offense?
I mean, obviously, they're a very, very talented group. You know, they have a lot of talent in all the major positions on offense. I mean, quarterback, their tight end is going to be a future Hall of Famer. You know, great running backs who run the ball really hard, receivers to throw to. So they're a very talented group. I mean, defensively, we are really going to have to be on point in everything that we do. You know, we're going to have a really solid game plan going against those guys, and then we're going to have to execute on Sunday. Obviously, that's going to be the most important thing. If we take care of ourselves, we take care of our techniques and our fundamentals, then we have a chance to win.
How do you feel? Do you feel you truly get a sense of being in a home game, even though you're not in Jacksonville?
I think once the game starts, you know, once that ball snapped and we're playing, I mean, it's football, right? It doesn't matter where we're at, home, away, you know, in London or back home in Jacksonville. I mean, we got to play ball and execute. The thing that we're you know, reaching towards, our organization is reaching towards, obviously, so the Dallas Cowboys are a global name, right? Everybody knows the Dallas Cowboys. For us, I mean, Jacksonville is a smaller market, obviously, in the United States, but something that we're going to continue to build. And then in London, we want to have our strong presence there. So, the goal is we need to be able to put a great product on the field, have success on the field, and grow our fan base over there so it gets to the point that when we do play in London, regardless of who we're playing, it will be a home game for us.
Since you've already made the trip once and been here once, do you think there's anything that you're going to do differently coming over this time? Are you going to try and see some of the sights maybe, or have you seen enough it's just going to be football and straight to business?
I'll tell you what, the first time over, I was so uptight about the whole trip that I barely saw any of the city. And this time, I want, when there is time to kind of, you know, take advantage of the surroundings, I would like to experience London more. Because obviously, you know, it's a world-class city. You know, so it's something that I want to take advantage of and get a chance to experience it when we have time. But, yeah, the first trip, you know, I was so uptight about everything. I kind of stayed in the hotel room the whole time. This time, once we do get, you know, a couple hours of free time, I wouldn't mind walking around and seeing that city.
Yeah, make sure you head out and see Big Ben. Not the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the actual tower.
Yeah.
You know, it's not someone that you'll have to tackle, I guarantee, but you'll have a good time there. One last thing before I let you go, Paul. You were a Pro Bowler last year. You played on Team Sanders' team. How was that experience being in the Pro Bowl, yet it being kind of different with having the two coaches and Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders?
I think it was a lot of fun. Obviously, going to the Pro Bowl is a great experience, right? Great memory to have. And then to be with two Hall of Fame guys, you know, just to be around Jerry Rice, to be around, you know, Deion, what a great thing for current players to be able to just to be around those guys, have conversations with them. It was a little bit unique with the draft and some teammates were playing against each other and things like that, but it made it fun and it made it interesting for everybody involved.
All right, well, to that point, Paul, let's say this year your quarterback gets elected to the Pro Bowl and you get selected again, and you're playing against your quarterback. You're really going to sack him?
No, I'm going to push him down to the ground and make sure he's as comfortable as possible.
All right, there you go. That's honesty. I always wondered that. I was like, are you really going to tackle your quarterback from your team? I didn't see myself ever doing it, so I was wondering how you were going to play that one out.
No, yeah, priorities first, right? So I'm going to take care of our starting quarterback first.
You're entering your seventh season, correct, Paul, in the league?
This will be my eighth year.
Your eighth year. Yeah, your eighth year. And is there anything that you do to the rookies coming up? You know, you guys got a great set of rookies, Blake Bortles, Marquise Lee. Anything you're having these rookies do for you in these OTAs?
No, not right now. Maybe that'll come later on during the fall. But right now, we want to help these guys as much as we can and have them mature as fast as possible. You know what I mean? We want to get them on board as quickly as we can. So it's all about helping them. The messing around with the rookies, that comes later.
All right, later. They'll have to wait for training camp for that.
There you go.
We just want to let you know, Paul, the first player to come on the show this season for us here, NFL Rants and Raves. We really appreciate you coming on, and best of luck to you this season.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
What a good guy. I really appreciate Paul taking the time out of his, after OTA practice and spending some time talking to me. Good guy, good cat. More players to come, folks. He's the first of many. We'll have other Jacksonville Jaguar players come and stop by as well, and I'll be able to interview a couple of them. But players from other teams as well, heading to London, Detroit Lions, Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins, Oakland Raiders, Dallas Cowboys. I'll be having players from all those teams stop on by and chat with me for a little bit. Get their opinions on what it's going to be like to go to London for those who haven't been before and for those who have been, just what they plan to see differently. From the Oakland Raiders, I hope to have Monique Watson and or Jack Crawford the two gentlemen, Brits, who are from the UK and have been with the Raiders now for a couple years, how it's going to be for them to go back to London and play in front of their folks and their fans and friends. It's going to be certainly interesting for them, so I hope to have them on as well. But thanks to Paul, Paws, as we like to call him. I think it's Paws because he makes running backs pause. He had 162 tackles last season, 120 of those, or 20 of them were solo tackles. Just unreal. I think he's had five consecutive seasons with over 100 tackles in each season, so that is pretty impressive for the linebacker there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Once again, Paul Posluszny. We'll move on. Finally, take some of your Facebook questions. All right, there weren't very many. I think y'all were shy, or I didn't give you enough time to ask the Facebook questions. But here we are. We'll start with Julian Blair, who says, when does the league decide on if they increase the playoff group size, and are you in favor of this? That's a very, very good question. I don't know, honestly, when the league is going to have a vote on this. I know that they just had their owners' meeting recently, and they did discuss it, but I don't think a vote came about. I know it's on the table. It's on the agenda. It's something that the commish wants to happen. I'm pretty certain that Roger Goodell is going to do everything in his power to make sure that they at least vote on it. Me, personally, I am not in favor of it. You have the right amount of teams making the playoffs. You've already had to have a couple of seasons where you had a team with a losing record go into the playoffs. I don't want you to add two more teams to the playoffs and then we're stuck with more teams with losing records get into the playoffs. Yes, I know last year it would have helped the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care what Jerry Jones says. I don't want that other team there because more than likely it's going to be a 7-9 team. Who wants a 7-9 team in the playoffs? You didn't win half your games. You don't deserve to be in. So, no. I say leave it as is. If you're not good enough to get in now, certainly adding one or two more teams isn't going to be good enough to help you either because you just probably get bounced in the first round anyways. So that's a very good question, Julian. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure when the league will have a vote on it. I'm not in favor of it, and I hope most of the teams, I know many of the players wouldn't want it. Coaches? I don't know. I haven't really talked to too many coaches about that issue. It's something that we'll certainly have to bring up, but I sure as heck do not want another one or two teams added to the playoff lineup. Thomas Hooch. Thomas asks, is it Hooch or Hook? We'll have to ask Thomas next time we see him. What do you think about the plans of the Jags building luxury cabanas, including a pool, into the stadium to fill the seats? Look, whatever is going to help the Jacksonville Jaguars fill seats, by all means, do it. Do it. If it's going to help you sell tickets, do it. Now, for those of you who don't know what Thomas is talking about, the Jacksonville Jaguars are adding a two-level party deck, which is going to include two pools and 20 cabanas. It's a $63 million renovation to Everbank Field. Basically, these spa cabanas are going to be available for both season tickets and on a single game basis. And if you get into one of these cabanas, you get exclusive access to the pools, private changing rooms, great seats to watch the game. Hey, I think it's a great way. You know, early in the season when it's pretty hot in Jacksonville, and you can get one of those cabanas and chill by the pool and have some food brought to you poolside while you watch a football game. By all means, if it's going to get more butts in the seats, do it. Now, as of last week, the Jaguars had already sold 65% of all cabanas, which consist of 8 50-person units and 12 20-person units. So that means 50-person That's pretty wild. There's 50 units that can hold 8 people and 12. No. 850. So those are big. That's like a huge, giant cabana suite. 8 units that have 50 people in them, or 12 units that have 20 people in them. So you could go with a few friends, or you could go with a whole group. Take the whole office. I like the idea. And you know what? Something about Shad Khan, he's a shrewd businessman, right? That's what he is. First and foremost, he wouldn't have made his billions if he wasn't a shrewd businessman. So if he can find a way to get more people to come to the seats, I think this is what this whole, and I think Paul said it in the interview earlier as well, this whole getting the brand of the Jacksonville Jaguars out there. Look at what he's doing. He's adding character to his stadium. I mean, trust me, I've gone to that stadium. I was not impressed. But now I could go to a two-level party deck. It has two pools and cabanas and people running around in bikinis and stuff. I'm going to have a good time. Now at the stadium, I'm going to want to go to the stadium. Before, I'm not sure I wanted to go to Everbank Field to watch a Jaguar game. Now there's at least something interesting there that'll get people to the stadium, and hopefully it draws more fans to Jacksonville to watch this team, because I think they are slowly and quietly starting to put together a very good football team down there in Jacksonville. I know they struggled last year a lot, and they made some changes, but I think this is a team that if you keep your eye on them over the next several years, they're going to become a good one. And I like what Shad Khan is doing there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, finally, before I let you all go, I want to talk, since tomorrow is Friday the 13th, a little bit of a triskaidekaphobia. If you don't know what that is, look it up. No, I'm just kidding. Triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13 and the avoidance of using it. You know, that's some, you know, elevators don't have, or there's no 13 because there's no 13th floor on most buildings. You know, Apollo 13, they never landed on the moon because there was an oxygen tank that exploded and they had to abort their mission. And they almost didn't make it home. We've seen there's a lot of bad things. The 13, you know, Friday the 13th, the movie, Jason goes around killing campers. That used to freak me out as a kid. So, Friday the 13th is scary. It's coming around the corner. And I forgot who it was. I'm not sure if it was the mothership or if it was Fox, but they were looking at famous football players to wear the number 13 who were pretty lucky. And I could only come up with two. The two players that I came up with were Kurt Warner, who he was kind of lucky in a sense. I mean, the dude was bagging groceries and then got called to play for the Rams, goes to two Super Bowls with them, wins one of them. Then he goes to Arizona after not-so-successful stint with the New York Giants, goes to Arizona and gets them to a Super Bowl. So that's pretty good. He almost won that one too. Then you have Dan Marino, and he wore 13. And when you think of Dan Marino, you gotta think to yourself, was he lucky or was he unlucky? I mean, Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the National Football League. But was he lucky? I mean, dude never won a Super Bowl. Never did get close. Yeah. But there you go. So those are the two 13s that I know of. If there are any other 13s that you know of, Jake Plummer wasn't 13, right? He was 16, I think. If there was any other 13 wearing player in the National Football League that wore the number 13 that you know of besides Kurt Warner and Dan Marino, please shoot me an email at steven@rrn.net and let me know. Those are obviously a couple guys who did not have the fear of the number 13. They wore it proudly. And in Kurt Warner's case, at least he won a Super Bowl with it. Dan Marino, one of the best quarterbacks ever played the game. Not sure if he was lucky or not. All right, finally, I'll leave you with this final point. I am still waiting to hear from you, more people, more fans for the fans' take. So far, I've heard from about 15 or so. And within those 15, I think, taking up 12 of the teams. So there's still a lot of teams not represented. If you want to represent your team during the Fans Take, a segment that we're going to start up here in the next couple of weeks, please shoot me an email to steven@rrn.net. Let's talk about some of those remaining teams and try to get them filled. It's going to be a fun segment. You'll get to come in and talk about your team with me. I think we'll have a good time when we do that. Let me see, just checking Twitter real quick to see if there are any more Twitter questions. No, on Twitter I'm finding that not a lot of people are happy with the Atlanta Falcons being chosen as the team for Hard Knocks. So there you go, HBO. Got a couple people who I bet you will still listen. So someone says, short answer, no. Nothing special. Yeah, not a lot of questions. I guess everybody is in World Cup mode. That's right. The World Cup started today with Brazil beating Croatia 3-1. They struggled in the beginning, man. They actually had a on goal where a dude scored a goal for Croatia, a guy from Brazil, and gave Croatia the early 1-0 lead, but Croatia never scored again, and Brazil popped in three, one on a questionable penalty kick, to win 3-1. But there you go. The World Cup is on, people. If you're not following the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please get on it. I've been trying to do my best to throw some interesting pictures up there, some good tweets and Facebook comments. Find it all our social media handles at www.nflrnr.com. The website is going through a makeover right now as well. Going to get it all tied in so that everything that gets posted on the site gets posted to Facebook and Twitter as well. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks again to my guest, Paul Posluszny of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.